Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Yes, the 90th birthday celebrations may be over, but Prashanti is always beautiful. It's always happening, and those beautiful memories of the 90th birthday linger on. We have those videos of 90th birthday being watched again and again, and you cannot just stop at marveling at how Bhagwan converted the birthday festival planned for November 23rd into a two-day event, November 23rd and 24th. Actually, the celebrations did not end on 24th. As we know, the World Conference of Sri Sathya Sai Organization started on November 25. And in fact, last Thursday, November 26, 2015, in this hour, we had Dr. Narendranath Reddy, the chairman of the Prashanti Council, the head of the International Sai Organization, talking to us about the World Conference and the huge preparation for it through the pre-World Conferences and all the service projects and the education projects and the spiritual projects for more than a year preparing for this conference. And the World Conference concluded gloriously on November 27th. But the birthday celebrations, the 90th birthday celebrations went on, because on November 28th, you had an encore of the Grand Sai Global Symphony, now in the capital of India, in New Delhi, in the majestic Jawaharlal Nehru Indoor Stadium. In fact, this program was telecast live on Indian National Television on Doordarshan Bharati, and you had two central ministers as chief guests for this occasion. Mr. Nitin Gadkari, who is the Minister for Shipping, Road Transport and Highways, and Mrs. Najma Hepatullah, the Minister of Minority Affairs, Government of India. In fact, both these union ministers, in their speeches before the start of the symphony, narrated amazing instances of their love for Bhagwan and how they have felt his love and his grace in their lives in such beautiful ways. And after this began the grand and mesmerizing Sai Global Symphony. We have had more than 27,000 views on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, Radio Sai's YouTube channel. And I know so many people have experienced the joy of Bhagwan, joy of offering lovely music to Bhagwan, a music of unity, a music of purity. And by Bhagwan's grace, we had the opportunity to talk to many of the luminaries of the Indian music firmament who have participated in this symphony. The violin duo Ganesh and Kumaresh, the pioneer of Indian slide guitar, Sri Debashish Bhattacharya ji, the ghatam maestro, Sri Suresh Vaidyanathan ji, someone who is internationally acclaimed and respected for his in-depth knowledge of the Indian rhythm and technical supremacy. And I must tell you that talking to all these doyens of music has been such an eye-opening experience. Of course, not to forget the African drummer Pepe Samori Sek, who literally enthralled the audience in Prashantilam and in Delhi. The audience just forgot themselves and became one with his rhythm, one with his music, one with the energy that he that just sprung forth from him, that he exuded. And of course, we also had the chance to talk to the German composer of this grand symphony, Mr. Michael Hertling. What a fantastic effort this endeavor has been by so many people, a labor of love of Mr. Hertling for over 16 months. And he did it only out of his love for Bhagwan. You might be surprised to know that Mr. Michael Hertling did not know anything about Bhagwan before he came into the symphony. The symphony introduced him to Bhagwan. And look at this. He composed a music essaying the life and work and the mission of Bhagwan. And he did not know anything about Bhagwan 16 months ago. But the moment he got his opportunity, something pulled him. And as he says, he knew his life is going to change forever. He came up with a 90-minute symphony, marvelous music, comprising of all genres of music, bringing in musicians from 16 countries, and it is not just 10 or 20 musicians, 126 artists, and all of them masters in their craft. The cherry on the cake, of course, was Swami's students who did the chorus, boys from the men's campuses and girls from the Anandpur campus. They were involved in the last movement, the last segment of the symphony, and what a grand crescendo the symphony reached, with lavol, serval reverberating in so many voices in unison. It was a masterpiece of music, a Sai masterpiece of music. And the man who conducted this entire symphony is Dr. Michael Kohler, again from Germany. Again, a fantastic devotee of the Lord, who too, like Hertling, has done nothing but this symphony for the last 10-12 months, coordinating musicians, bringing them together, bringing the synergy in them, working with Indian greats and Western experts. Wow, what a challenging effort, what a commendable effort, and what a grand finale to the 90 years of Bhagwan, 90 years of pure love. And Dr. Kohler and Mr. Hertling, they did it only because of their singular love for Bhagwan. There were many challenges. Nothing bothered them because they knew they were doing it for Swami. In fact, the love these illustrious people have for Swami is so moving. We never have a clue about the depth of the ocean of love that they have in their hearts for Bhagwan. For me, it was truly a very revelatory experience. Very, very revelatory experience. And this is what I wish to share with all of you in this program. We will get started today. And we will start listening to this symphony, beautiful parts of the symphony, as well as the people who are behind the making of the symphony. And through their voices, through their music, we will relish and revel in the glory of Mother Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:44. And as I just mentioned, today we are going to reminisce the riveting and glorious Sai Global Symphony, the spellbinding 90th birthday offering of unity and purity through music at the lotus feet of divinity. The program in New Delhi on November 28th started off with a talk by Mr. Nitin Gadkari and Mrs. Najma Heptullah, as I mentioned to you.
Thank you.
So that is a beautiful glimpse of how the symphony enthralled the audience. But as I mentioned to you, before the symphony, people were lost in the love of Bhagwan when they heard the stories that were narrated in New Delhi by the Minister of Minority Affairs, Mrs. Najma Hepatullah. And I thought this was such a beautiful sharing from the heart, and this is something that we all should listen to, because you don't know, you have no idea how Bhagwan has touched so many people in so many amazing ways. So let's listen to this talk by Mrs. Najma Hepatullah, and then we'll go back to the symphony, we'll listen more to the symphony, and then we'll listen to the person who composed the symphony, as well as to a prominent artist who was one of the leading musicians who was part of the symphony. So that is what we have in store in this program, in this episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. So let's begin with the talk by Mrs. Najma Hepatullah, who is the grand niece of Maulana Abdul Kalam Azad, a prominent Indian freedom fighter, and as I mentioned to you, a central minister now.
While paying my respects and tributes to Sri Satya Sai Baba, Nitinji shared his experiences. I would share mine, how I came in contact with Baba. It's exactly 50 years ago that my husband, before we got married, wanted to marry me. We belonged to two different sects of Muslims. Those days, it was difficult. So there were a lot of problems in our marriage. I was living in Bhopal. He was in Bombay. He had a friend from South India who took him to Sai Baba, to Puttaparthi, in 1965. At that time, what Puttaparthi is today wasn't. Baba blessed him, and he also told him, a coming 1966 December, you will get married. I had no idea. I had never heard of Baba. When we got married exactly in December 66, and I came to live in Bombay, I used to find in many pockets of my husband Baba's ashes, his vibhuti. I used to wonder what it is. Then I asked him, what is this you carry in your pocket, little packets? Then he told me the whole story, how it happened. And I had a desire to go to the person with whose blessings we got married. I used to tell him, by the time I got elected to the parliament in 1980, because he told me much later, I used to tell him, let's go to Puttaparthi, pay our respect to Baba, I want to meet him. Somehow, some time passed. One day I was traveling in the plane. There was a pilot. His name was Sharma. He came to meet me. I looked at the green ring in his finger. And I said, you're a devotee of Baba. I want to go there, but somehow it doesn't happen. He said, I'm going next week. I said, please convey my respects and my desire that I want to come there. Next week, when I was again traveling from Bombay to Delhi, He came, so he gave me, I wrote a letter to Baba. He took out the letter and gave it back to me. I said, why you didn't give it to him? He says, I didn't have to give it to him. Because I was sitting outside his room, he came out, and he says, tell that lady to come. Baba's house is her house. Anytime she can come. Then Sharma asked him, which lady? Whole ultimatum to my husband. Next week, we are going. And we went to Puttaparthi. I must tell you something more. When my husband went, he went in a car. It was a Morris Minor Tiger, small black car. They drove from Bombay to Puttaparthi. While he was getting up, the keys of the car fell down. And Baba picked them up and gave it to my husband. And he blessed. We travel after marriage. We had a Bharat Yatra in that car. About 5,000 kilometers we travel all over Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, UP, and Delhi. And never, never, even once the car stopped or even had a flat tire. We never sold that car. That car is still with me with the blessing of Baba. Many interesting things happened to me. When we went, me and my husband, we were in that round guest house. I was thinking in my mind, I didn't even share it with my husband, Nitinji, I was ashamed of it, to tell him that I said, I must get a green ring today. I won't go from here without the Baba's green ring. When we went there, he gave us Vibhuti, and he told me, and I had kept this finger empty, kept it in the cupboard, my ring, that I'll get it here. He told me, give me your hand. So I gave this hand. He said, no, you took out the VT and kept it in the cupboard, give me that hand. And I gave that hand and I got a green ring. The second time I met somebody, you people must be wondering what kind of greedy person I was. But it was, I wanted to show my closeness to Baba, how he cares for me, how he gets the message without telling him. I'm sitting in Delhi or Bombay, thousands of miles away, and I'm just thinking in what is happening. I saw somebody, Kulwant Raiji, who was a great devotee of Baba. He was my Rakhi brother. He came to my house for Diwali, and I saw a multicolored Navratna in his hand. I said, what happened to your green ring? He says, Baba changed it. I again thought in my heart, I should get one. Didn't tell anybody. When I went, he said, give me the ring. I gave him the ring, and it comes multicolored Navratna. One more thing I will tell you about that Navratna. I used to wear it all the time. It has a pearl also. One day I noticed the pearl has fallen down. I was very sad. I took it out and kept it in the cupboard. Many years later, I was looking at my rings and I found that the pearl was there. It came back. It's amazing. I'm a scientist. I did my PhD in science. I have no explanation for it, but it happened to me. Another thing, Nitinji, I resigned from the deputy chairmanship to become the general secretary of the party. And then I resigned from there and somebody else took over and I was member of parliament. In 1988, I remember it was October, Shankar Dayal Sharma was the vice president of the Rajya Sabha. He was also a devotee of Baba. I went to Baba, he was in Whitefield. He introduced me to some people over there. I said, she's a member of parliament. Her name is Najma Heptullah. She works with Shankar Dayal Sharma as his assistant, as deputy. I thought, perhaps Baba has forgotten that I'm no more. But I kept quiet. I said, why should I correct him? He is always right. In same year, in November, I was re-elected as a deputy chairman and remained there till 2004, till I myself resigned. These are the miracles of Baba that I have felt. And I'm sure all of you must have felt, must have had many more stories to talk about him. He could read the mind. I know one day he told me, in his room, we were 8 of us. And suddenly he told me, see, how many Muslims are here? And I said, why is he telling me? Then there were 3 people, 2 ladies and a child from Iran. There were a couple and a son from Trinidad and Tobago, me and my husband, and Baba must have, somebody must have thought about it. And that is what his greatness. To me, Baba's greatest contribution is in the field of education, in the field of healthcare. His message, love all, serve all. He gave us a path to follow. I today feel myself extremely humble to be standing before all of you. Most of you have devoted your life. All my friends sitting here on the dais have devoted their lives for the service of the people in memory of Sri Satya Sai Baba. Let's make a pledge today while we are, this is the grand finale of the year-long celebration of his 90th birthday. Let's make a vow today. From now onwards, each one of us will devote ourselves in the service of people, the service of mankind, spreading love and affection. I wish Baba was here today, but I'm sure he is there, his spirit is there. I congratulate those 126 artists and musicians from 16 countries who are here to pay their tributes in memory of Baba. I congratulate all his hundreds and thousands of his devotees all over the world who are working as a tribute to our great Sai, in the service of people and service and love to the mankind. This is the only wish I have, our only prayer I can have today. Thank you very much.
So that is Mrs. Najma Hepatullah, the Minister of Minority Affairs, Government of India. And as I told you, she just shared her heart, how Bhagwan has touched her, how it is an indelible relationship that she has with Bhagwan. The Global Symphony started on this positive note, on this beautiful love that Bhagwan has with each one of us, the beautiful love story that he has with each one of us. After Mrs. Najma Hepatullah spoke in New Delhi in the Jawaharlal Nehru Indoor Stadium, the former All India President of Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization, Mr. V. Srinivasan, then welcomed the galaxy of artists, all the leading Indian musicians, as well as the team of musicians from the West, from Europe and from so many countries, as well as the students, both from the men's and the women's campuses. And that was the beginning of the Sai Global Symphony Encore in New Delhi.
Thank you.
Symphony started, and the singing that you heard was done by Mr. Sheikh Lebiat. He is from the African country of Mauritania. He's a desert singer, one of the best desert singers, and that invocation that he did to Allah is how the symphony began. It was so sublime, so elevating. And you'll be surprised to know that Mr. Sheikh Lebiat does not know a word of any Indian language. He knows very little English, just a few words. No, thank you, yes. And it is only Swami's grace that he managed to come to Prashanthi Nilayam. In fact, he is not familiar with anything. Anything to do with India, anything to do with Indian languages, food, everything is new to him, and he has a problem of communication because he just doesn't know any language. But still, it is Swami's grace that he managed to come here, and look at how Bhagwan designs and wills it. The symphony started with him. As Om was going on in the background, you had the call of Allah resounding. And it started with the voice of Africa. That is amazing, Bhagwan. Amazing way Bhagwan plans and orchestrates. He is in fact the divine orchestrator, and that is how the symphony came into being. And as the symphony went on, you had so many moments which literally enthralled you. Take any segment of the symphony, any part of the symphony, and you will love it. There was never a dull moment in the 90 minute labor of love, 90 minute offering of love.
Thank you.
So that was again another short clip of the symphony. You didn't want that clip to end, isn't it? It was just beginning. Yes, every moment of the symphony is like this. If you have watched this grand Sai Global Symphony and you heard those voices, those were of Ms. Sudha Raghunathan, the acclaimed Indian vocalist, and Ms. Anjana from London, again a very esteemed and accomplished Western classical singer. She is the one who trained all the students to sing as one voice in the chorus. And as I mentioned to you before, Bhagwan chose Mr. Michael Hurting to be the instrument to compose this entire 90-minute symphony on his 90th birthday. And I had the chance to talk to Mr. Michael Hurting before the symphony happened again in New Delhi. When he was in Prashant Nilam, he was so busy, we could not get to talk to him. And by Bhagwan's grace, we traveled to New Delhi. And just a few hours before the performance started in the Jawaharlal Stadium in New Delhi, we had this opportunity to talk to him for 5-7 minutes. And there he shared very briefly how this symphony came to him and how this has changed his life. In fact, he said, if I have to talk about the making of the symphony, I will need at least 5-6 hours because there is so much to it. But for want of time, at least we thought we should capture something. And he was very kind in spite of his busy schedule and so many meetings and practice sessions and organizing everything there. 126 musicians, so much of coordination to bring them together, ensure that the stage and lighting and miking and everything is perfect. In spite of that, he gave us those 5-7 minutes and we could capture his reflections about the symphony. Here it is.
Sarah, Mr. Hurting, it's really an honor to be sitting next to you, and I'm really thankful to you that you're able to take 5 minutes because I know it's really hectic.
That's my duty.
If you can just share about how has this experience been? I know it's been an experience for more than a year, 15, 16 months. When you reflect, one performance is over in Prashant Nilam and it was a fantastic success.
Thank you.
Now when you reflect, how does it make you feel?
Liberated. In a double way. As last July, I have taken up this obligation, and it is an obligation against Sai Baba, against Srinivasan, and against my deceased friend Mandalit Srinivas, to whom I had promised to do this until the end, even before anybody knew that he was sick. So in the moment when the performance happened, I felt liberated.
Wow. And so much of learning has happened, I'm sure, to you also, because you had to do something perhaps which you have not done before.
Well, of course. I mean, a thing of this magnitude and so many cultures involved, to my knowledge, hasn't been done before. So that each of us had to learn a lot in order to be able to do that. But learning is my nature and my pleasure. So, you know, a day without learning is a day lost for me.
What are the biggest learnings in this whole endeavor, from the perspective of music and from the perspective of knowing Swami and spirituality and Puttaparthi?
The biggest learning is the interhuman relationship between different cultures. Now I have been working between cultures for more than 25 years, and I have made the experience that most of the problems I encounter are misunderstandings. And this is, to me, a very precious insight, you know, because some anger will happen and people will shout at each other or they will be unhappy. And if you realize that most of it is just a misunderstanding, you know, then I guess it is the same between different people from all over the world. Not only in music, but in daily life, there will be many misunderstandings. And so I guess that a lot of problems in the world nowadays are coming from misunderstandings. And this is a great learning experience, actually.
And through music, you want to melt those misunderstandings. You want to bring that unity and that peace through music.
Well, actually, I'm not saying that. Through music, I want to spread happiness and joy, you know. I can't explain to somebody this is a misunderstanding via the music, but I can prepare maybe the floor for people to accept that there will be misunderstandings and that it is necessary to eat your own pride and your own whatever you are, your own ego, in order to get through the things. You know?
This is, yes, this wonderful. Is it. And in fact, in your personal journey in understanding this and, you know, in trying to love more people, in trying to bring along this unity, this experience has had some amount of internal reflection for you doing this symphony?
Oh, of course, a lot. You know, I'm as you. I am unjust and I'm doing the wrong thing sometimes against other people. But as I was concentrating on the music all the time, it has helped me a lot to overcome these feelings, because I had to concentrate on the music. And now my position is like that, that many people come to me and ask me about the music, which makes it much easier for me to explain. So I see all these people really like it, they want to do it, you know. And it's easier than to overcome misunderstandings, which is fantastic.
Fantastic. I was just speaking to one of the musicians, and he said, just the way the powerful manner, love all, serve all, and help over hurt never comes out, you know, that's the finale of this whole orchestra.
Yeah.
The way it comes out so powerfully, that conveys the message in such an emphatic manner. So with little music, we have conveyed a great message, that someone in the audience said that. And
fantastic.
I want to convey this to you.
Thank you. And I'm happy to hear that.
And personally, what are your learnings about Baba? Because you were not introduced to him before. You just came to know of him. And within a few months, you've come up with something which describes his life and mission, his legacy. How did this happen?
Two words. Love all. That's enough for me. It's enough for everybody. And it has impressed me deeply to see the creed and the belief in the eyes of people like you, of the people in the ashram. And I really like that, you know. It is very close to music, as Baba has been very close to music, as you know. And these two words for me is enough. Of course, you say, love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. I can just take these two words and it's enough for me.
And that is where the music ends, and that is what you want everyone to take home.
Of course, of course.
What is your personal take home after you've done this exercise?
It's the same, it's the same. I have been exposed to this phrase for 16 months now. It has been in my mind daily. Many people have said it to me. I have composed this message. I have dealt with it on a daily basis. And of course it has influenced me in a way. Imagine I would have been with IS for 16 months, you know. This input would have been a completely different input. This is why I think it is very, very important to let things enter your mind which are positive. See? There can't be a more positive message than love all. By the way, Jesus said the same about 2,000 years ago.
See? Baba always talks about unity, purity, divinity. And when I was reading about Global Music Orchestra, I saw that that is what is also the theme of what you have been doing all your life. You have always been wanting to unite cultures, unite people.
That's it.
In a pure manner, so that we bring something beautiful to the world.
This is why, like, I didn't know about Sai Baba, but when I read about him in the internet, I agreed with everything he said. So I was very naive at that moment, so I said to myself, well, Sai Baba speaks for me, so I can speak for him.
Oh, wow. I'm sure you think this is now going to have an influence in everything you do in future?
Of course, I mean, but this is right for every learning experience. But of course, this experience has been very intense, is very intense, and it makes me happy to see that people seem to get something out of it, you know, something positive. They go home, they might think about it, it might change part of their being, I don't know. But this makes me happy.
The last question. What has been the most challenging moment and the most fulfilling moment till now?
Most challenging moment? The most challenging moment was to say yes after half an hour to this endeavor. Because I realized immediately I would have to change my life. And I have dropped everything else. For 15 months I haven't done anything else but that. This was the most difficult moment, and at the same time, the best moment.
Fantastic. To me, this is the best moment.
Thank you.
To really have a conversation with you. And I really want to have a long conversation, but you're very busy.
As
so, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
So that is Mr. Mike Herting. And we just managed to get this 5 minutes in a hotel in New Delhi just before they were preparing to go for the Sai Symphony Orchestra to be held in the Jawaharlal Nehru Indoor Stadium in New Delhi. It is so amazing when you listen to how Bhagwan involved someone like Herting who didn't know anything about him, and now he has changed his life completely. And just imagine through him now how many more lives are going to change. Because as he very rightly said, as he frankly confessed, his life is not going to be the same again. This has changed his life forever. Music is so powerful, and musicians are great instruments of the Lord. Through them we can do so much, and Bhagwan at the right time picks his right instrument for his mission of unity, purity that will lead to divinity. Beautiful excerpt of the symphony, and in the end you were the instrument that was predominant is the ghatam. If you're familiar with South Indian classical music, you know what a ghatam is. It's one of the most ancient percussion instruments of South India. It's a clay pot with a narrow mouth, and from the mouth it slants outward to form a ridge, and it is made mainly of clay baked with brass or copper filings with a small amount of iron filings. And the size of the ghatam varies according to its pitch, and the pitch can be slightly altered by the application of clay or water, plasticized clay or water. Though the ghatam is the same shape as an ordinary Indian domestic clay pot, as an instrument it is made very specially and very specifically, and the tone of the pot must be good, and the wall should be of even thickness to produce an even tone. So it's a very specialized clay pot, and it's natural music. It is music from the earth. The musician usually places this ghatam on his lap with the mouth facing the belly, And then, you know, the performer uses the fingers, the thumbs, the palms, and the heels of the hand to strike its outer surface to produce those different sounds. And different tones can be produced by hitting areas of the pot with different parts of the hands. Sometimes the ghatam is turned around so that the mouth faces the audience and the performer plays on the neck of the instrument. Occasionally you will have a performer who, to the amusement of the audience, will just toss the ghatam up in the air and catch it. In fact, there was one child prodigy who did that in front of Bhagwan in 2010, and Swami loved it. And you had one of the doyens of ghatam who participated in this symphony, Mr. Suresh Vaidyanathan. So that is Mr. Suresh Vaidyanathan on the ghatam, and it was Mr. Amrit who was on the kanjira, and you had the guru of mridangam, Guru Karaikudi Mani sir, on the mridangam. So it was virtually a galaxy. As someone said, the stars from the sky were on earth, because each one who's synonymous with his music was part of the symphony. That's how Bhagwan arranged it. And when we spoke to these musicians, only then we realized how much love they have for Bhagwan and how deeply spiritual they are. I had the chance to speak to many of them and know from them how they view spirituality, and everyone's experience of music and spirituality is so profound. And this is something I felt should be shared with the coming generation. As you grow in music in a pure manner, you automatically become spiritual. There is no other goal. That is what Mr. Suresh Vaidyanathan shared. It was a very beautiful conversation. And I will preserve this for the next episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. We will listen to Mr. Suresh and also so many other musicians. We will listen to the African drummer. We will listen to Mr. Debashis Bhattacharya. We will listen to Ganesh and Kumaresh, the violin duo. Each one having a beautiful perspective on music, on God, on spirituality, on world peace. The symphony ended with Lavol Sarwal. As Mike Herting mentioned, we will conclude today's episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside with that message of Lavol Sarwal as it was conveyed in the symphony. So that is how tremendously the symphony ended. Love all, serve all, and finally you had beautiful gymnastics being done on the flute by Mr. Sashank, another great instrument of the Lord, who was blessed to play the flute for this concert, the Indian Bansuri. The most important part is how it ended with that powerful, emphatic message of love all, serve all, and sung by his students, both boys and girls. Dear listeners, there is so much to this symphony. This, like anything of Bhagwan, just take one thing and you know, you can see the entire, if you look at the making of this, you can see all facets of Bhagwan's love in it. Every mission of Bhagwan, every project of Bhagwan is so multidimensional and so revealing. And that is how this Sai Global Symphony Orchestra has been. We will dwell more on it, listen more, and also dwell on the experiences of so many leading artists, and be lost in the music as well as in the love that they have for Bhagwan. We will continue this session on Sai Global Symphony in the coming episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, by Bhagwan's grace. Do tell us what you feel about this program. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us throughout this journey, throughout this Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai, coming from you from the heart of Prashant Nilayam. We offer our humble salutations to Bhagwan. And finally, a sweet goodbye. And wishing you a great time ahead. In Sai, with Sai, for Sai. Thank you so much. Salam.